but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Gonna be kind of a big night for me and the two younger daughters. We're gonna do a daddy-daughter date, which means I'm gonna get suckered into going to like the bookstore dinner. They're starting to migrate into like makeup and stuff like that. Feel a little out of my element. So I'm not going into like a Sephora or something like that. We're not getting out of hand here. But that's on tap for me tonight. We'll tell you what's on tap for the weekend coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Every Friday, at least for the last couple weeks, we have brought back the BFT jury. We're doing it again today. The topics today. You know the softball story earlier in the week that we talked about? I got a derivative of it. The softball story that I wrote about twice this week at johncanzano.com. I want to really drill down on what the coaches are really guilty of. The coaches who came in and stopped play and demanded birth certificates for an 11-year-old girl who skews on the tall side. And what are parents guilty of when it comes to youth sports in general? Let's get a grip here in this segment. Also, the Trailblazers, what happens to this franchise? How does this story end? Is this sale going to be a watershed moment for Portland's NBA team? What needs to be part of that if it's going to happen? Our jurors are in the deliberation room. I've got the gavel out. Michael Llewellyn, longtime Trailblazers executive. Craig Birnbach, longtime sportscaster and sports anchor in the market. Stephen Vaughn, you're going to step into the jury box. I've got a line open if someone out there wants to join the jury at 503-417-7575. Here's what you need to do. Call. That's what you need to do. Let's do it.
Spanning the city in search of sports fans willing to explore the constant variety of sport and opinion. These sports freaks are prepared to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the bald-faced truth.
He's asking you if you swear to tell the truth.
This isn't 12 angry men stuck in a jury room. It's Boulder.
Kindly address this court as your honor.
Welcome, the Bald-Faced Truth Jury.
All right. Michael Llewellyn, Craig Birnbach, Stephen Vaughn. And you, the BFT juror, all part of this deliberation. If you feel so moved at any point, you can call 503-417-7575. The next segment will belong to you, the audience, as you can debate these very topics. We're going to start with Michael Llewellyn, longtime Blazers executive, longtime television executive, vice president of communications and public affairs with the Trailblazers, is joining us. Let's talk about youth sports, Mr. Llewellyn. You had kids who played youth sports. You know the drill. What are the coaches guilty of in this softball incident, and what are parents guilty of when it comes to youth sports?
You know, John, it pained me to hear that story of what Lily was put through as a 17-year-old. First of all, hats off to her, and I thought you gave her some great accolades in what you wrote and how you handled the interview. She showed some tremendous poise and maturity for a 17-year-old. She's not even old enough to vote yet she's having to tackle a real adult circumstance as an umpire. I think the coaches were trying to take advantage of the fact that there was a youngster umpiring. I wonder if they would have behaved the same way, or perhaps at that same degree if they had seen an umpire who was an adult, or perhaps an umpire that was a recognizable face from the softball league who they knew they couldn't put one over on. They took advantage of a volatile situation and thought they could play it to their advantage, and that young lady stood her ground and handled it the right way. You know, she's the kind of student athlete that I wish we could get at the University of Portland if we had softball. We didn't have it there. That young lady, from what I saw, the major she's going to pursue academically, I bet she winds up not only playing softball at Santa Clara, she'll probably be the team captain. She'll probably graduate with honors before it's all said and done. But I was very impressed with how she handled it. I think what the coaches were, again, they were taking advantage of the situation, and that was so unfair to her and was unfair to the other kids out there. Look at the failure of the role models that were on the field that day.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I get what you're saying. They looked up, they saw a 17-year-old high school kid behind the plate, and they saw an 11-year-old who stands 5'10", and they were like, where's the birth certificate? And tried to make a scene of it. It was ugly. I loved when Lily, the umpire, called into the show midweek, and we got a chance to talk to her and learn something about her. 4.0 student at her high school, Dayton High School, and raises goats, going to Santa Clara. She's got her, you know, things. She's got things figured out. And my favorite part of that, though, was the fact that she didn't know how much she was going to get paid for the game. She was like, I'm out here because I love it. I love that. Craig Burnback, longtime sports anchor, reporter in the market. What are parents guilty of? What are these coaches guilty of?
So, John, I'm just going to, like, when I read that article, you remember when I texted you, and this is what I believe. Kids are awesome. Adults suck. I am not as eloquent as Michael Llewellyn. That's what I texted you, because that's what they're
true.
Just sucking. You know, like, just, do you not understand your role as an adult, because a 17-year-old did? I mean, what the heck are they thinking, that this 11-year-old is in a conspiracy to own them on an 11-year-old softball game? Like, what are they thinking? Even if they believe that, even if they think that this girl is not 11, you tell everybody on your team, say, hey, there are rules and the regulations, and we know that there's a system in place that checks for everybody's age. So don't worry about that. Let's go play softball. And then afterward, if you have some kind of real, real, real feeling that there's somehow some unfairness here, do the adult thing and talk to another adult about it. But honestly, and no one dislikes tall people more than me, let's be honest. You know, so... But, I mean, are you kidding me? Who is the adult here? Like, what is – you do not know your job. That's – they're guilty of not understanding what it means to be an adult, which is to teach kids, you know, that – how to honor rules and regulations, not to run out and make a scene and an embarrassing 11-year-old girl who's already – and I'm joking about not liking tall people.
I know.
I want to be clear. Already – I have no idea what it's like to be too tall. I was on the other end of the spectrum, weighing 83 pounds as a freshman in high school. I can imagine I was 4'3 when I was 11, and I might be giving myself credit. But I'm like, I know what it was like to be the shortest person, and people not believe that, you know, having to prove that you belong in the group. But I'm sure there's so much that she has to kind of navigate as an 11-year-old. And to have an adult run out there and accuse her of lying about her age because she's 5'11". It's just, to me, it's just awful. It's just not caring about the kids. Because even if you really believe this conspiracy exists, don't do it to embarrass the kid. Because even if that kid is, God forbid, 12, that kid didn't come up with this conspiracy on their own. So it never would be the child's fault. And your job is to support children when you decide to coach children. It's not to push any child down. It's to raise them all up. And that, to me, is a complete failure and just an atrocious decision. And in the end, also, oh, by the way, wrong.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you hit on something, because I hadn't thought of that. Part of the story here that bothered me was, you know, there was a young girl getting called out for something totally out of her control, her height, and it's, you know, it's a physical appearance thing. You mentioned being on the other end of the scale, being smaller. Can you remember times when you felt bad or you were made to feel like, oh, are you old enough to be here?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. and, you know, and up by other kids too, you know, but that's that part, you know, kids can be mean, no doubt. But yes, of course it was, you know, oh, when they split the groups up, you know, when you go for tryouts or something like that, they're like, oh, no, I think you're down there with the 8-year-olds. And of course my answer was, you know, even at eight, some, you know, New Jersey words would come out probably. And, you know, my goal was to prove everyone wrong and be the best darn short 11-year-old you ever seen. And for her, you know, she's just trying to be the best she can be. You know what I mean? She's trying to be awesome. And if she can hit the ball, you know, further and harder, that's what she's supposed to do with what she's been, you know, that she's who she is. And she's not supposed to go easy. Back up.
Yes.
She's that good. Back up.
Back up. You that's know, right. Like, and that shortstop was shallow. Did you see it on the video? The shortstop was like in the baseline.
You know, I couldn't watch it because I just didn't want to see that. I can't. There's many things. My wife's always like, watch this. I'm like, no. If it's bad and there's kids involved, I'm such a softie. I'm like, now that I'm a parent, I thought I was going to be this tough parent. My boy right now is holding my hand right now to give me support, my almost 8-year-old. Like, I'm so soft. Like, he falls down, and I'm like, no! And she's like, I'm fine! You know? And I just did want to, I read it. You did such a great job of you know, especially connecting the umpire to the story. But I just can't even believe. But back up! Like, we've all played big kids, you know?
I know.
You back up, you know, like, because you don't, or catch it. You know, that's what I, you know, like, catch the ball, you know, and go from there. But, you know, and look, there were kids, we all played youth sports, and there were kids that played up at some point. You know what I mean? Like, and I get that. If that's what there could be, we all went to, I don't know, but where I went, every once in a while, there'd be a kid, and they'd let them play up.
Yeah.
Because that's what was best for everybody, including that kid. But that's a discussion for parents, adults to have with adults. And then the one adult, the one parent to have with the kid. Do you want to play up or do you want to stay with, you know, kids in your grade and your friends? And there's decisions to be made there. But those are adult decisions and conversations to be had without the kid, all those kids. I mean, what did they learn that day? They learned that if something looks, you know, if unfair just because of, you know, a height discrepancy or something like that, you go out and yell about it rather than actually investigate, find out the facts.
I mean, Craig Burnback.
My thought the whole time was that what was the expectation right there for her to, like you said, pull it out? Here it is. Here's my driver's license.
right.
What do you mean? Like, what
I've got my
goal?
Papers like, in my back pocket of my baseball jersey or my baseball pants. I've got it right here. Craig Burnback there, longtime anchor and reporter in the Portland market. Stephen Vaughn, what are the parents guilty of, and what is that coach guilty of?
The coach is guilty of being a loser. Like, that's what I would say. Guilty of being one of the biggest losers I've seen. You cannot be doing that to not only just 11-year-old girls, just anybody that you're coaching of in the youth. It's just... it's unexplainable why you would do that. As Craig said, kids can be mean enough. We don't need the parents and the coaches to be mean as well, to add on to it. Your goal at that age is just to have them continue playing, get them playing into high school. If they are good enough, then they can play college, whatever it is. But you want to keep them playing. You don't want to hurt their self-esteem. And that's all that happened. The coaches were just a loser out there. And it shows how big of a loser you are that you cared that much, that you had to win because it was that important to win that game against that 11-year-old who just had a nice base hit on you. Maybe pitcher better. Maybe position your defense better. They're all losers for acting that way. And then Lily is the biggest winner of all. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Like, I'm going to follow her career at Santa Clara. Like, she's one of those one of those ladies that is just going to do good things in this world. Not just on the softball field, not whatever. Like, she has it all together. And thankfully she was there because it could have turned into such a really ugly situation if someone maybe like you were there, John, that was out there arguing, but you'd
and
argue
I,
back.
If I start
back.
Arguing back and all of a sudden someone's calling 911 because
of a sudden
you know,
someone throws something from the crowd. Yeah. I mean, it could have gotten way worse. So I think the parents Even the parents yelling back, like you heard, we heard the clip where the coach comes out and says, let's check her birth certificate. And then the parents start cussing and start yelling. Like, they're losers too. Like, just let's calm down a little bit and realize this is 11-year-old softball. Just because you have a good game or you have a bad game, you're not playing D1. Trust me. As a small college athlete, I had plenty of bad games. I still played college basketball. It's okay. You can have a bad game.
That is segment one of the BFT jury. Now we're pivoting into part two. Trailblazers on the auction block. What happens to this franchise? Will a sale be a watershed moment? And what needs to happen in order for it to be a watershed moment? If this breaks right for Blazer fans in this organization, what needs to happen? Let's go to Michael Llewellyn, longtime Trailblazers executive. He knows the NBA. He has some special insight on this one. Llewellyn, what do you make of the Blazers sale?
John, I think you nailed it. Anytime a franchise goes through an ownership change, it's a watershed moment of some kind, and it really boils down to who the new owners are going to be. I think there's an opportunity here for what Blazer fans have clamored for a while, because, again, the more snarky folks, I guess, in the crowd never liked the fact that Paul Allen, you know, was, he lived in Seattle. They referred to him as an absentee owner, you know, all those kinds of things. But so if we are able to secure a local owner or ownership group, I think it'll at least give an emotional connection, more of a localized connection, for the franchise here to the city of Portland and the state of Oregon. Hopefully, whoever they are going to continue to invest in the team, both, you know, whether it's the Moda Center or certainly investing in the roster. But I'm hopeful. I really do hope that it winds up being a group that has at least some local people on it. Professional franchises are just so expensive nowadays. You've already reported on what they think the Blazers might fetch in the market, you know, somewhere between $4 and $5 billion, maybe between $3 and $4 billion, which I think is a very realistic target. I don't think the team will move. I know some people are already fearful of that. I think there's too much history here, more than 50 years for this franchise. There's too much good that has happened with support of the Blazers and the Blazers' support of this community to have it loaded up and, you know, in a moving van and then shipped off somewhere else. I think expansion is definitely coming to Seattle. I think expansion is coming to Vegas, and then you'll see some realignment of the Eastern and Western conferences to balance things out. But I really do hope that an ownership group comes together that does have a local presence that folks here can really cling to on the emotional side of this issue.
Michael Llewellyn, former Blazers executive, you're the best. Thank you for that insight. It's worth pointing out, like, you know, I raised the local thing to an investor that I talked with on the phone yesterday, and he said, hey, keep in mind, Larry Weinberg was an L.A. guy. Paul Allen was a Seattle guy. The Blazers haven't had local ownership. Is that important to have some faction of the group local? Michael Llewellyn says yes. Ideally, it is. Craig Birnbach, Craig, where do you stand on the Blazers?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that Michael said. I mean, it's definitely a watershed moment. A trust can't own a team. Like, it shouldn't be. And this in-between crap has been difficult because you just don't know. Jody Allen, we don't know much about what she thinks about managing this team because she doesn't talk, but she also never signed up to own an NBA team. You know what I mean? It's not like this was her goal. And so you don't want someone who's not passionate about owning a sports franchise. You want someone who cares about winning and isn't just in it because it's the business part. So while I ideally, yes, it would be great to have someone who is Pacific Northwest, you know, based in the sense to have that connection as a fan or something like that. But the truth is that might be difficult because I don't know how many people in the Portland area have $3 to $5 billion. Now, hopefully there'll be some kind of ownership. I mean, you've seen what, the Major League Baseball push. They've included, you know, local people and stuff like that. But I also say this, really, really rich people can have more than one home. So, all I care about, if I'm a Blazer fan, is have a passionate owner who wants to win, who doesn't have ties to another city so strong that they're going to be pushing hard to move the team. They don't have to move this team. Right now, the ingredients are in place for the NBA to not want them to move the team. Seattle is going to come back. Vegas is going to be in the area. The WNBA is coming to Portland. Why would they want that, right? There should always be a little bit of fear that your franchise should move. You need to keep that in the back of your mind. I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm just saying, just let's remember, there are plenty. The history is paved with teams that we never thought would move. Now, some of them went back. You know, Cleveland and, you know, and Baltimore got franchises back. Seattle's going to get a franchise back. But always keep that in mind. But to me, of course, it's a watershed moment. I never understood why people were upset about having Paul Allen as an owner. I thought he did everything but win a championship. He didn't, you know, he paid for players. He didn't care all the time about the business part. I'd also like the ownership to have right away a vision for the Rose Quarter, because right now that's part of the, you know, thing that, you know, since I got here now almost 20 years ago, goodness gracious, but, and I got here and that was the plan. We're going to make this a vibrant area. We're going to have it more than just the arena. And I was like, yeah, I had no doubts because I was new. Now I've got those doubts that you already had that was going to happen. But this can happen. We've seen it all over the country. Why not here? So I just want an owner that comes in. And if they immediately attack that, the arena and the area issue, then you know they don't want to move. So, but yes, it's watershed. But I will say, things could get worse. So don't, you know, as good as Paul, as cool, as good as owner as Paul Allen was, there's a chance there could be a better one, but there's also a chance there could be a worse one, but it was inevitable. So let's go.
Craig Birnbach, sports anchor, reporter. Stephen Vaughn, you've heard Michael Llewellyn and Craig Birnbach debate whether it's a watershed moment, what needs to be, what needs to happen for it to be a positive. Where do you stand as a juror?
Yeah, first of all, the jury is going to be not guilty of moving. The Blazers are not going to move from Portland. And I get the fear that there's always the fear of going to Seattle. Like, that was always a fear growing up. As soon as the Sonics left, I remember just people, conspiracy theories, Portland's moving to Seattle. Paula, it's not happening. The Blazers are locked in. They can't get out of the lease until 2030. And then a team will already be in Seattle by then, I would assume. And then also, if they do leave, they have to pay a full expansion fee. Nobody's going to want to do that. So I think the Blazers are pretty not guilty of leaving Portland. They'll be staying here in Portland. Now, I would say this about the Blazers' ownership group and the sale. I think it's a little overrated when it comes to how this is going to affect the team. I'm not the biggest Jody Allen fan. I don't like Jody Allen. She didn't do a good job. But also, they don't have a good roster. And I think that helps a lot. Had they gotten Victor Wembanyama, nobody cares about Jody Allen. Nobody's talking about how bad of a job Jody Allen is doing because the Blazers are winning games.
So you think they're just unlucky? So they're just unlucky?
Because look, we look at Paul Allen. He was a great owner. Rest in peace, Paul Allen. I'm not saying he's bad. He wasn't the best of all time. He hired Neil O'Shea. We all hate Neil O'Shea, right? He didn't make the best hires of everybody. He threw money at all problems. He didn't do what necessarily had to be done. Look at new owners like Matt Ishbia. He is so into the team. He wants to win. Their team is a disaster. So, yes, if they bring in a new owner and he is motivated or she is motivated to change this team, change this roster, great. It also could turn out to be really bad, and it can set back the franchise even more on the court. Now, with Paul Allen, correct me if I'm wrong, John, didn't he own all the buildings around Moda Center? And he didn't
own a lot of them.
And he didn't really want to build anything around it to have, you know, some nightlife and some restaurant. Didn't want to do that. He didn't care. So, like, I'm not saying Paul Allen's bad. He was a great owner. He was willing to spend and lose a lot of money on this franchise. But he also is getting overblown a little bit because of how little Jody did. That right. I think that we're over analyzing this a little bit. And I think if the Blazers roster was better, we wouldn't be talking about Jody Allen and Bert Colt as much as we do as such a negative. So I think this is, for me, I'm happy that it's happening because we can finally put it behind us. But I think it's getting overblown a little bit.
I want you to be part of the jury. Where do you stand on the Blazers sale? What would make it a positive watershed moment? what wouldn't, what worries you about it. Also, from a youth sports standpoint, what were those coaches guilty of? What are parents guilty of in general as it pertains to youth sports? 503-417-7575 is the phone number. I want you to weigh in. You got the bald-faced truth on this great Friday.